And just bow down his head and just take those declarations. Say, my heart is enlightened. Say it loud, my heart is enlightened. I have the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. The spirit of understanding. I am able to conceive the word of God. My heart is alive. Say, my heart is alive to God. And the word of God affects my innermost being. It is transforming my life. It's taking me from one level to another. I'm becoming more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I will gain understanding as the word of God comes forth. And my life will be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Psalms 131. That's where we are starting from again today. The book of Psalms, chapter 131. He said, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. He said, Israel, take my example. He was saying in verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Please notice that. David said that my heart has been removed from certain things. Pride is out of it and my eyes are not lifted up. What I don't do is to involve myself in things that are too difficult for me. He said, how did I do that? I composed, and that's a conscious effort I made. So David said, I have done certain procedures. As a result of those actions and activities, I have composed and quieted my soul so that like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is quiet, all right, within me. All right, so it was not saying Israel should take example from that. Open your Bibles quickly to the book of Joshua chapter 1. We'll look at that again, then I begin to teach this afternoon. The book of Joshua chapter 1. I'll read from because of time, let's just say from verse 5. Where I'm going is verse 8. We'll read from verse 5 and end in verse 9, but our emphasis will be taken from verse 8. God was speaking to Joshua after the death of Moses, and he told him concerning what he now had to go ahead and do. Now, let's look into our Bibles, verse 5. Now, he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn, he said, from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So you see that success does not come just by praying. Success does not come by our efforts. It comes by obedience to the word of God. Do you understand my point? That is the rule of success. You obey the word of God, you will succeed. Now, the problem here is that how will a man obey the word of God? He now said in verse 8, this is a procedure by which obedience will come to your life. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, please, before I read further, don't forget in verse 7, he has spoken to him concerning the key to success. The key to success is obedience to the word of God. But the key to obedience is meditation. That's what he was saying. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Can you see that? The key to success is what? Is what? Obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the commandments of God. That's the key to success. But the key to obedience, he said, is giving attention to the word of God and meditating upon it day and night. He said, if you do that, it will come about that your body will just take up obedience. You'll be able to do all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. He said, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I like to emphasize this all the time. When he said, "Do not tremble or be dismayed," what that simply means is that there will be many occasions in life that a man will want to tremble. There will be many occasions where the dismay will come upon him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wouldn't have said, don't tremble or be dismayed. Were it not that there will be situations in which a man will be tempted. No, not just tempted now. You know, there are times you are tempted to do or not do. But there are things that just happen to you. Do you understand my point? That dismay will come upon you as you go about life. A time will come, you will see giants. Like, because this was a man that was going to lead Israel to go and attack giants. All right? You will see giants. You saw them before. And you say, God can help us and we'll take the land. A time will come when two giants will corner you. Do you follow what I'm saying? As you're about to take the land, two of them just say, "Is that not the Joshua guy? Come to this corner." Do you follow what I'm saying? And at such times, you now begin to wonder that, why did I say that in front of the congregation that day? You know, it will happen. When two giants corner you, my brother, you need more than human will not to be afraid. You need more than human will not to be dismayed. That's a matter of fact, all right? So God was not saying to Joshua, therefore, that it's not just about struggling. I will give you a simple principle that you will operate and you will discover strength, all right, and courage coming out of inside you. Now, that's just explaining the two scriptures that we are reading and we are going to look into further today as we are talking about how to compose and quieten your soul. Don't forget what we have been talking about. Of course, all the while we are talking about faith basics, the fundamentals of faith. Where we are right now is what we call the faith rest life. That God is not working if you are struggling. That you can get to a place you are not struggling to get to. All right? It's possible. In fact, that's what God wants. It's called the grace of God. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Example I like to give all the time, because it was Paul that made that statement, is how his life is affecting you and I today. We are sitting down here and we are mentioning Paul. Paul never engineered anything. Do you follow my point? So that his name would be on the lips of everybody. No, he never did. People have told me before, right here, how are you going to make yourself known and perpetrate yourself and all of that? I said, perpetuate yourself. I don't know the correct English. Which one is correct, sir? Anyway, both English. You know what I mean, Abby? Uh-huh. And I thought the person telling me that, I said, no, that's not the idea. Those whose names, all right, are never forgotten, did not try, all right, to make sure that their names were not forgotten. A woman, because of the love and the devotion she had to the Lord Jesus Christ, came and did something that was very, very, let me use the word, ghastly. That is, Judas looked and said, "Why didn't you sell that perfume and let us go and give to the poor?" And Jesus said, "Forget that side. Now, anywhere that this gospel be preached, this thing will be told." That is, she didn't do that so that he will remember her forever. She did it because she wanted. It was an expression of what was inside her. What am I trying to explain? You can get to a place you did not scheme for. I like to emphasize that all the time. David did not scheme to be king. Not at all. God looked for a king and found David. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, and those are the challenges we have in Christianity. To be willing to accept the will of God as opposed to our own personal ambitions. Listen, there is nothing, let me say it again so as to encourage your heart and encourage your soul. There is nothing you can ever dream of or imagine for your life that God has not conceived something beyond that for you. There is nothing. That's a matter of fact. There is nothing. There is nothing you can ever imagine that God did not conceive or prepare something beyond that for you. The Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ask or think. That is the ability we have concerning conceiving matters. God is able to do beyond that. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's a matter of fact. That is why a person like David wouldn't scheme to be king, yet one day he will be king. And having recognized this fact, therefore, what is the challenge for us? To be able to rest in the hands of God. To be able to take the days day by day. I said something to us before that we say all the time that Abraham waited for God for 25 years. But did he really wait for God for 25 years before Isaac came? And the promise of God was, this interesting part, let me just say this. The promise of God was not even fulfilled during the lifetime of Abraham. Isaac was not the promise. Isaac was just the first stage of the fulfillment of the promise of God. God said, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." But once Isaac was born, it was a sign. All right. It was a sign to Abraham that everything that God said he would do, they are going to come to pass. Isaac was never the promise. In fact, if you go and read in that Hebrews chapter 11, it will tell you that all these died without inheriting the promise. So Isaac in himself was not the promise. But when Abraham saw Isaac, It was like a Simeon who saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby. Even though the world had not been saved, Jesus had not yet died for their sins. Yet he said, now thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Yet the world has not yet been saved. Are you getting my point? That's what Isaac was to Abraham. Once Isaac was born, and God took Abraham through the experience of having to sacrifice Isaac and delivering Isaac and all of that, Abraham knew for certain that everything that God promised, no matter how crazy they may seem to the common mind, at least if he can resurrect the body of my wife and my own body, and we can give birth to this child, then there is nothing that he ever promised that will not come to pass. Therefore, he died in peace, not having seen the promise of God fulfilled. Please, do you follow what I'm going to explain there? So, did he wait for Isaac for 25 years? The truth is that he did not. Abraham waited for Isaac every day. He wasn't waiting for 25 years. Each day, God gives you something to do. Do you get my point? And it's why you are resting. And that's what we're talking about. The rest that you achieve in God is what allows him to fulfill the promise in your life. Do you understand my point? Now, one day, let me just tell this testimony that my wife gave. She went for a women's meeting somewhere, and one woman gave this testimony. She was married, fine woman, fine husband, fine family. Then she was married for years. She did not have a child. And every day she would pray and fast and this and that and she did not have a child. Are you getting my point? And she fasted and prayed and prayed and fasted, and she did not have a child. And she cried and cried and cried and cried, and she did not have a child. And she, what is, I don't know where she, modern day Pentecostal. You go sow seed. She did not have a child, all right? She did everything. Finally, she got tired. And said, no more mourning in my life. No more lamentation in my life. After all, I'm a lucky woman. You understand what I'm saying? My husband is good. He's faithful. He's not even complaining. So she said, from now on, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be happy. So when she wakes up in the morning, she would have a very good bath, make up very well, look nice, put on her jewelry. You know how wicked souls, you see? She's not even ashamed. All these wicked people that don't know God. They look at her. That's why she doesn't have a child now. Shameless. People like her that should be mourning. She said, that's your problem. I have quieted and composed my soul. That's where we are going. Then one day she went for, a wedding. The main gist was that this woman looked at her and called her. Say, I just saw you. My spirit just reached out to you. And like, see, you look so beautiful. This was a woman talking to her. And then God said, I should tell you that there's something you are waiting for from his hand that is yours. The woman didn't say more than that. And she just knew that it was the childbearing matter. She didn't know the woman. Nobody said they meet. Say, okay, let's network at that wedding. She just went for a function. And in her normal smiling and being jovial, the woman just looked at her. I think called out our preacher and said, I just saw you sitting down there. And you look so beautiful. Just something I said. And God said, I should tell you that there's something that you deeply desire. And that thing he has granted you. Listen. He said, that the end of that month, her period came as usual, but it was the last one for a very long time. I know her. She has like 4 or 5 children. They born them at random. Now, why did I tell that story? Just to illustrate the issue of rest. It was when she entered into her rest. Let me just tell 2 more stories along those lines. You just illustrate this point. I remember one of my colleagues those days. Also, she was married like that, and for 10 years, she did not have a child. 10 good years. 10. 10 is quite long, all right? It's a long time. Don't think Abraham's 25 years is long. Events, they happen like that every day. 10 years. And then I remember when she was traveling abroad. Well, she and her husband, she's a medical doctor. When she was leaving the country, she finally was like, well, okay, let's just leave this matter like that. I don't know the details, but let me tell you what I saw from outside, okay? What did I see from outside? She went, adopted a daughter, all right? A 2-year-old girl. I met the girl, all right? And it was like, okay, let me have, before she traveled, it's easier to adopt in Nigeria than abroad. So she did that. And then the following year, somebody told me that, oh, you know this person? He's like, how is she doing? Oh, she had a baby boy, maybe recently. I think after she composed and quieted her soul, and stopped all this. By faith, I receive it. Give me by faith. You know, this kind of agidu against God. She took a girl, adopted the girl, and that's, I believe, this is not my own interpretation. At that point, she had quietened her soul. Then God was able to ignite motions. And the person telling the story, we all doctors, said this was without any medical intervention. The following year, a year and a half later, she had a baby boy. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? All right, no, that's just the way it works. All right, that's just the way it works. And that story, I read this one in the newspaper, so I can tell you the name. He's a pastor in Lagos. I read the story, his wife wrote the story, the same issue. She, for a long time, she was there praying and fasting and doing everything, nothing happened. Then finally, she reasoned from the scriptures. That is not that you talk about the wealth of the wicked, all right, is laid up for the righteous. That the wicked will labor for the righteous. That is only in money matters. What about in children matters? Say there are small girls having children every day that they don't want. It's the will of God. She went and collected one in adoption. Yes. After that, she conceived and gave birth. Are you getting my point? Now listen, let me tell you this. A lot of things we are talking about that we claim that how does it work, how does it not work? I've told you before, let's be careful what we call faith. Some of them is harassment, is disturbance of God, and the stubbornness of the heart is a sign of lack of peace inside your soul. Listen, let me tell you the truth. If you have to wake up every morning and pace up and down, in the name of Jesus, I receive it, and it's a material thing, something that you desire, you are not walking in faith, you are walking in disquietness of soul. Did you hear what I said? You are walking in what? You like my English, have you? You know, I keep inventing words like that to make my point very clear. The soul is not quiet within you. You have not composed, you have agitated your soul. But they told that the way to agitate your soul in Christianity is to keep confessing. It is not the words we speak. There are things behind what we are saying. We are disturbed sometimes. We are not quiet. And I'm emphasizing again that it's when we are quiet that God moves. Let me not preach that message all over again, but I think I've given these few illustrations to emphasize the point. Do you get my point? You will become rich in life when you stop trying to become rich. Your prosperity will come the day you get tired of sowing seeds towards it. Say amen. One of the reasons why God never answered you is he said, if I do this thing, now me and this boy will struggle for the glory. He will come and testify that these were the keys that I pray. You know, Christians love keys. They don't believe in mercy and grace. They love keys. Then I pressed this key. This was the key they pressed. And I pushed this button. One woman was talking to me recently, said, Pastor, how come this has not happened? I said, I perceive you are a Pentecostal. You know the way Jesus will talk? I said, I perceive you are a Pentecostal. That is the problem with us in the world of faith. What confession have I not made? You get what I'm saying? He said, when did you make the confession? 8 o'clock. Ah, if I wait till 8:30 now, God never wake that time. No. A lot of those things, we are just disturbing our souls. We have not achieved rest. Do you understand my point? And our labor is to enter into what? The rest of God. The labor, listen to me clearly, is not to get results in life, because God always brings results. The labor is to enter into what? Rest. Don't forget what I said. I didn't say Christians are idle people. I didn't say so. I said sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What that means is that there are enough troubles. God lays upon you a trouble for a day. And that's what I mean, literally. That's how Solomon said it. God occupies you with some issues for one day. And he says, sufficient unto the day is that trouble. This is not part of the message. Let me just use as an illustration. I was talking to a friend of mine today. I called him my brother, so we chatted for a while on the phone. And for certain reason, I said that, Banky, why don't you do this? You know, this house, you know, I've told you about it a lot of times, about the housing, my house. I said, look, if God gave me 100 million naira now, I won't build a house, I won't buy one. I said, I'll go and see my landlord and give him 5 years rent in advance. She said, and she's a spiritual person. She said, she just got the point. She said, it's true. I said, when the time is ripe, I will know. And she gave me a testimony that she and her husband are building a house For 6 years, they were trying to build a bungalow. 6 years or 7 years. Then one day, without telling her, the husband went there and pulled it down. Carried a bulldozer and knocked this thing down. So the man didn't discuss with her because he knew that if he did, there's no way on earth he will agree. They knocked the house down to the ground. Now said, now, I want to build a giant of a house. And in less than a year, he raised it to roofing level. He didn't have the money when he started it. No, I want you to understand something. Don't think that he now saw money. No. He just looked and said, what kind of insult is this self? So he pulled the... She was telling me this morning. In fact, she said that one first before I said made my own statement. He now said it's true that... Listen, he said, this is how she said it. She said, I'm persuaded if we had done that 5 years ago, we would have had problems. He said, but when the time is ripe, listen, Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Let me summarize it. The earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. But when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because he knows that the harvest is ready. So I told her, I said, look, that's my policy. I said, it's not about money. It's not about just stepping out by faith. I said, some things are not just ripe at certain seasons. If I have 100 million, then I will share it out. If God lays upon you to build a house, I will help you build it. But I won't build one. It's very funny. I won't bother. If you come and tell me today, now, Pastor, we are building. We're about to. I said, okay, how much is 1 ton of cement? You tell me, I'll give you the money. I don't like good things finishing in my presence without my contribution. It's not the will of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, I have quietened and composed my soul within me concerning some issues. That's what we are trying to achieve. We are not trying to labor to get results. We are trying to get to a point where we are totally relaxed in God, that God will know that indeed, alright, if he doesn't help us, nobody will. Therefore, it becomes fully his responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how we are going, you know? I'm preaching this message again and again. So last time we began to talk about how do we do that. I gave a number of points, you know, like I always say. You can read somebody else's book and it gives you 17 points. Bank is giving 4, all right? That's just the way I put it together. Last time I said number one, these are the steps I gathered together or procedures, all right? Or I'm forming a mechanism, a chain reaction that will produce the precipitate called the quieting. The quiet and the composed soul, all right? The precipitate of this reaction that we are starting is called what? The quiet and composed soul, all right? So these are the reaction goals. I said, number one, the first step is that of generally understanding what life is about. And that was where I ended last time. That don't let life set an agenda for you that God has not set for you. Let them not make your life, all right, a materialistic life. I was reading a book. I told you about the book. I keep reading here and there. Proverbs of Success. And this particular man that they described, said the man said, listen, something happened to him. They were digging in his house what was going to be the swimming pool in his house. And while they were still digging, he realized that he had a problem. You know why? They were digging the swimming pool. He was already looking at the house that if I knock down that wall and I put sliding doors here, and I do this one there, I will put this kind of thing there. They are still digging pool. Are you getting my point? So then it dawned on him that he had a serious problem, that he was not a happy man. He was rich. He had a wife he loved. He had 2 children. He had what he thought, actually, what he planned in his life that he would acquire and would make him happy. So by the time he finished, he suddenly realized that he had a serious problem. Then when he knew that his problem was even more serious than he thought, was the third time police arrested him for driving while drunk. Then he knew he really had a problem. He knew that there was serious trouble. That is, there was no satisfaction in him at all. Now, I just want to illustrate the fact that we must not let material things, we must not let the world set a new agenda for us concerning what we should be pursuing in life. Those are the things that disturbs people's souls. They will tell you that, look, if you haven't done it, you've heard it a lot of times. If you are 40, you don't have a house, you're not a man. That's stupid. God never said it. They said a landless man is a voiceless man. I don't believe it. Land or no land, if you vex me, I pray against you, you will seek. You will not say I get voice that time. Your land will catch fire. I don't see land will catch fire before. If a landless, in fact, God said the landless man is a dangerous man. Where did he say it? He said, be careful that you don't disturb the widow and the fatherless. Because their defender is what? Strong. Let's know what is right. Do you get my point? Let people know. You know, I've seen all kinds of people. I've seen people say that. No. One of my relations does this. She did that. Said, I must take my children too for holiday abroad. So they can go back to school. You know, you go to kind of schools where your children, when they go to school, they disturb and say, where did you spend your summer? Where did you spend? Listen, there's nothing wrong with Arochukwu to spend summer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where's the boy who married from Arochukwu? If you are in a school where harassment, your children come and say, no, we are going to holiday abroad, withdraw them. Go to a Transekulu primary school. It's a good school. They will learn how to fight and face life. I told my wife that, let me send my children to a public school near me so they can learn Igbo. All this one that you grew up in Enugu, all you are doing is good morning. So again, I said, it's not nice. Go somewhere, you become tough. Bishop Latilo is making money for speaking three Nigerian languages fluently. Eh? So if your children go to the school, everybody going in here today, now you take your children to school in a fine car, tomorrow you take them, you'll be changing motto. Just know you are going to a satanic school, amen? Or you have a satanic mind. No, I'm telling you the truth, though. One day, Chrissy Baturi told the story. Was I there that day? My wife was the one that went for that program. What they call it? Purple Fiesta by Blossoms of the Vine. That was about 2-3 years ago. Her husband is very rich, apparently, and they go to a very good school in Port Harcourt. So they discovered something that, you know, jobless women, when their husband get money, they are risky people. They will lead you on the path of perdition. Today, bring their children to school in Lexus. Tomorrow is BMW. The following day is the latest Toyota Jeep. The woman said she realized that, okay, I know what I'll do to these people. So one day she came to their children's school on a motorbike and wearing slippers. So if you want to hang, go and hang. I'm not competing with anybody. She took Okada. I will come with Okada today. If you don't like it, like Fela said, if you not like, you hang. If you hang, you go die. You go die for nothing. The part of the song where I like, we say they will carry your body to the police station. You die wrongfully. That's the one I like. Wrongful death. I don't know. One of them is that, look, don't let people just harass your life for nothing. Be mere unnecessary competition. I pray that means last. Let them not go by it again. The Lord is good. So that's the first thing. Look, general understanding. There's a reset before each one of us, and you should learn to judge your life based upon the race that is set before you. I taught a series, the first seminar we did up here, titled The Real Faith. All right? Go and check that Real Faith message. We still have the MP3 CDs. One of them is how to assess your life correctly. Please go and listen to it. I'm begging you. Learn how to assess your life correctly. You will not disturb your soul needlessly. Is that okay? That's the first point. Please, let's not forget that. Okay, as part of that first point, I just need to explain this. And don't forget this thing. That's as part of that first point. General understanding to have in your heart. Don't forget that God indeed is the controller of all things. The power belongs to God. I believe something very strongly. My life is not an accident. You've heard me say it several times. Nothing happens to me by chance. If you make a millionaire, I don't make it. Just means that millionaire is yours, it's not my own. That's all. I will never fight you over it. I will never. God is my witness. He has taught me enough and infused his spirit in me enough so that I will never even be envious and say, God, where were you? I wonder what's happening. What's wrong with it? One of the things that I taught my wife that time is that, look, you're not the only one that will be blessed in life. Other people must be blessed also. Other people must be blessed. It's not every business that will come across your own way. If only you do all the contracts, who would you, the other, what would they eat? If I teach you some Christian principles and you are selling a charge card on the roadside, you won't rush and run after cars. You know those boys on the road? Their souls are disturbed within them. Chine Doom knows the boy I buy cars from. That one, not the rush. If you go down there, he did it. That guy is a Christian testimony. I don't know whether he's a believer or not, or how you should do business. He just stands like this. For those who want to run, you can run. As for me, if you don't park in front of me, I ain't selling you a recharge card. No, and God taught me that one long ago when I was in Lagos. You know, when I didn't have a car, didn't have the, you know, so I had to enter buses like everybody. And sometimes you go to a bus, you are waiting to enter a bus. And the bus, you know, this is Nigeria. People know it's a big queue. It's not in our soul. I think the black man's DNA was confused. That is, I want to be double helix, not scattered helix, for those of you who know biology. We don't know how to put it, you know, turn by turn, waiting. Ah, what's so called? So you can imagine Lagos, no bus. Everybody rush, 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 rush. One thing I never did was to follow anybody rush. He said, you go sleep here. I never slept anywhere in Lagos. I always got a bus home. And don't think I waited longer than other people. Satan is a very wicked person. He will make you think you are making progress because you are running up and down. Activity and progress are two different things. Yes. Even in physics, they teach you. There's random harmonic motion. There is what you call a, what was the name of that kind of motion now? There's this motion that molecules are just running up and down. Brownian. Huh? Brownian motion. God bless you. They are not going anywhere. Have you ever seen children? When I see adults trying to jog to lose weight, children do like 55 kilometers in the house every day. They don't go anywhere. Is it my children? I could look them once in a while. I go touch them. The boy could sweat. Where? In that sitting room. They'll be chasing each other around in a tight circle. You know, they're not trying to catch themselves, because if you really wanted to catch them, they'll just stop and turn around. The person run into your hand. No, so. They'll be full. Activity and progress are two different things. Those days in Lagos, people could they run up and down. God taught me that one long ago. I'll just stand in one position. What are you going to do? I said, the bus that will carry me will stop right here. Right here. And you know, it never failed. It wasn't a matter of even too much faith. It was just common sense. I would just stand in one spot like that. You go see all the Muguns in Lagos. Obalende, you go that side. Me, as the rush go like that, the next one will just come, park, and turn. Obalende, I will not enter. See you boys later. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, if I was in that kind of business, that's what I would do. What am I saying? Understand that the power belongs to God. Anyone you don't get is not yours. Don't be envious. Don't disturb your soul because of it. Don't be envious. Don't disturb your soul. That which is yours will come to you. And there is a time for your manifestation. These are the things you should get into your heart. These are basic principles you put in your mind, and your soul will be quiet. By now I should have. There's nothing like by now. When I do it, I do it. There's no by now I should have. Are you getting my point? No, you won't disturb my soul. My times, all right, they are in God's hands. There is a season. Look, there are things, I just can't give you detail because you won't even be able to understand because you're not in my shoes. There are things that God did for me when I was not even asking for it. He knew the time was ripe. I was thinking that the time is still far away. Along the line, God will give me the time to preach a particular sermon I discovered some time ago from Joshua chapter 18, verse 3. There was a time the children of Israel thought that the time had not come. God said, the time passed long ago. Joshua called them and said, come guys, when are you going to step into the inheritance that God already gave to you? There are things you don't know that the time has come. Do you follow my point? A lot of times we teach, those of us in the body of, in the word of faith and the faith teachers, now I understand, because then they used to say that they will be criticizing faith people, that they are practicing new age philosophy. When I grew some more and learned some more about the real faith, I agree with those who are criticizing. We think faith is the ability to take our lives into our own hands. No, faith is the ability to live our lives in God's hands. That's what faith really is. To be able to relax and know that indeed God is in control. Like I said, doesn't mean that I'm a lazy and idle man. That's not what faith means. What it means, all right, is that I have discovered the work of God for each season. And whether I chase after something or not does not determine whether I will get it or will not get it. Listen, the thing that God really wants to give you in life, look, let me give the story of Ron Kennelly again. The thing that God wants to give you in life, a lot of times you're not even looking for them at that time. I told the story of Ron Kennelly several times, previous times. When he was rushing, I wanted to get recording deal. Nobody gave it to him. When he gave up and said, I'm not doing it again, That was when Domwe walked into the church and said, "Oh boy, now you sing just now. Come sing with us now." Derek Prince, when he left the UK to go to the US, he traveled believing he'll be back in 6 months. And he never came back. Why? Because from one thing to another, God kept opening one door after another for him. And by the time he died, he was preaching the gospel, covering half of the globe on radio on a daily basis. He has scores of books everywhere. He has blessed multitudes. Yet when he started on that journey, he did not even know he was going that far. Are you getting my point? Listen. You must bear that in mind. It's part of the things you use to quieten your soul. Recognizing that, look, indeed your life has a season. And that season is determined by God. And listen to me, life is broken up into seasons. Are you getting my point? And each season there's something you must accomplish. If you don't accomplish the work in one season, in that season, you waste more time waiting for the end of that season. And when you are spending time running up and down trying to get to the end, you miss doing the work of the season. Let me say it another way. That is, your life is broken up into seasons. And it's like university. There's year one, there's year two, year three, year four. Except that in the spiritual realm, even like on campuses, they don't just count the years. They count the fulfillment of certain credits. If you need 50 credits to move to the next level, you must acquire 50 credits. There are certain courses you must take before the next. If you are so concerned about graduating, you don't do the course for today. You delay the day of graduation. That's what I'm saying. So if you are agitating about where you are supposed to be and you forget what you are supposed to do today, you delay the time. All right? You keep on, you lengthen the time between where you are right now and when you will get to where you are supposed to be. Instead of focusing on I'm supposed to be, forget it. Where am I right now? Focus on that. Why did I say that? Until you fulfill the assignment for a season, God does not push you into the next. I know one thing for certain. You know, I'm a preacher. My life is in a particular phase right now. Some people will look and be counting age. No, be age, oh. God has counted. I can't see it, and he doesn't show it. He has counted the number of messages I must preach before this phase ends and the new one begins. Do you hear what I said? I'm telling you that, and I know it to be a matter of fact. You know, something happened recently. I don't know why I mentioned to you last time. Before Cosmo went down, there was a message I wanted to preach for radio, and I wrote it down. Now, I've not seen that book for a long time, sometime last year. Then, when we went back on Ray Power, when Cosmo didn't wake up again, we now went on Ray Power. So, I now began to, you know, for now, we are repeating, as you know, old messages, if you're very used to our messages. So, I'm preparing what I will start preaching that we'll put on radio again. So, one of the messages I decided to preach, I was now writing it down. I've been putting it down for some time. Then a few days ago, I was in my study in the house and I pulled a drawer and saw an old jotter. Opened the jotter and guess what? The same message I'm writing down now that I want to preach on radio, I just saw that I wrote it down sometime last year. I did not even know I did that. I don't know if I get what I'm saying. I just saw the message. The title was slightly different, but the same spirit. I saw the points. This one, I had more points. But this was exactly what I wanted to preach apparently before Cosmo went down. And I totally forgot. When we came back on Ray Power, alright, I'm repeating, so I'm putting down things I will teach. Instead of putting down what I thought was new, only to discover that I wrote that same thing down last year. What am I saying? It's a spiritual matter. God said, this is the next message you are going to preach. And listen, if I like, fight, do anything, until you finish preaching those messages for radio, Bobo, you ain't going anywhere. So the more the time you waste, the longer you'll have to wait. That's just the way it goes. Each season, I'm using myself because I'm a preacher. Listen, if you're a teacher of secondary school children, God has counted the number of children you must send to university before you leave that spot. One day, somebody told me the story of Asu Ekiye. Asu Ekiye, one day we were in my house watching Asu Ekiye on TV. This Wekelemo, you know. So his pastor was talking about, he was talking about how God can bless a man and God can bless a man and miracle, hallelujah. He now made a statement and said, overnight, you know, you too can become an overnight success. Like my son has, the person with me shouted, overnight waiting. This guy is my friend. We're in university together. Overnight waiting. They are the man every time. Nyaka, nyaka, nyaka. They come, music, day and night. And it was going from one church to the other. Why won't you settle? One day told his friends that he has a revelation, whichever way he said it, that he has to set up and empower 10 choirs before God moves into another level. So when you see him running up and down, he wasn't looking for popularity. He said, I must sow seeds into the lives of 10 different choirs before God opens any door for me. And the song you know Aso Ekiye for is which one? He did not know himself for that song. I don't know where I get my point. He thought he was an American Nigerian. Christ is coming to take his people back to base. They do back to base. The title of that album, now waiting, Back to Base. They were singing Los Angeles music. God, they looked them. Somebody just said, me will do this one. Hey, all of them looks like waiting. We'll be American boys, okay, Claudie. You don't know, say we'll be American boys. King Buski, the guy who did the production, said when they told him to do this, he said, looks like waiting. I don't have time for all this indigenous stuff. But I, Banky, would never have known there was somebody like King Buski if he did not agree to do Wekilemu. What am I saying? As Wekilemu went to go and do Back to Base, God did Wekilemu. You see what I'm saying? No. So if you listen to, if you watch the video, he went out one day somewhere, saw people gather. Oh, he went to a shop. By the time he came out, crowd don't gather. They say, that's Wekilemu. That's Wekilemu. Now Wekilemu be that. Now Wekilemu be that. By the time he came out, he looked at the crowd. Just shouted, hey, everybody just shouted, that's the song that God did. He was doing Back to Base. Now, you get my point. That's how life is, though. Seasons. Until you feel, look, you know what Satan does? He tells you, now this is the way you did. Your maze don't move to another season. Now, so the one boy, he's on death row now, as far as I'm concerned. He did for Enugu, they do business. His friend said, you did here. We did for Abuja, they make millions on a weekly basis. He just said, now he joined them, go Abuja. He reached there. The first person they kidnapped, police grabbed him. Where he was, somewhere in the east here, doing his small, small business, police left him alone. All he had to do was tackle local government house once in a while on tax matters. They tell him, millions every day. You did here. He go look the boy, what they tell him. This boy, no, they lie. Oh. When you see a moto, you hear that he done the build house or village. And I'm my mate. Once you start saying, I'm my mate, just know police about to catch you. I ain't joined them, go Abuja. My friend was telling me one the other day, as a human being, say, let me tell you the truth, Oh God. The thing that Satan takes from people is sense. What God gives people is wisdom. Life is not as hard as you think. If you recognize the wisdom of God, life is easy. What am I saying so? My friend was telling me about one man in his church. This guy went to a professional shoe maker, you know, those who make shoes, and learned how to make shoes. Then he started his own small business. He started making shoes, making bags. And you know, little by little, this thing starts spreading. People start telling you, this man can do this. And he was getting clients, of course, slow, you know. But the thing was building up. People who knew were getting him clients. People were coming, repair good shoes, make bag for me. You know, business was growing. Then his friend told him that, you did here. We make more money than this in Abuja. What do they do? They said, they sell Ghana must go. Did you hear what I said? That they sell Ghana must go for Abuja. And the boy packed up his boarding shoe business in Enugu here to go to Abuja to go and sell Ghana must go. I said, that one sinned. He must have sinned. And this is judgment. The only thing that can make a man that stupid is sin, iniquity. He stole from somebody. The person didn't catch him. Now God has caught him.
You have a business that has potential to grow. Then you go and sell, Ghana must go. Why? Because you sell more, you make more money. That's the problem in life now, when you think life is all about money. When they told, in fact, the person telling me the story felt like crying. Don't worry, in 20 years' time, he will come back. Now, no, now, so they be. Listen, I told you that God said, you said we'll run on horses. He said, therefore, you will run. He said, we'll run on swift animals. He said, therefore, those who are pursuing you will be swift. They will be faster than you. When you run away from poverty as a child of God without tackling it in the face of God, wherever you go to, it will eventually catch up with you. Don't think it will start immediately. No, how else will you be tempted if you don't see immediate prosperity? Immediately, when you get there, you see money immediately. This boy will soon sell enough Ghana must go in 1 week to make more money than I was making a month before. And that will be the foolishness that will entrench him there. Forgetting that there's something about productivity. About blessing the lives of people. Man, I love this idea of production. Producing something. Because that one has only one potential. Continual and eternal growth. If God blesses you. Just walks away because of how much money they are making for any guy must go. Listen, life is in seasons. I was talking about general understanding so they can quieten your soul. Each season, the work that God gave you for that day, until you finish that work, he gave you another one. Don't forget the parable of Jesus Christ about the Lord that went to go and take a kingdom. He gave his servants money. He said, do business with this until I come back. There is a day of the coming of the Lord. I don't mean the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean in your personal life. Until that time, he says, do business with this until I come back. Write a book until I come back. Teach a few students until I come back. Pastor Banky, be preaching every day in that place until I come back. Until I come back. You know what that means? When I come back, if I don't find you there, nothing for you. There was a servant who they gave one. He produced 10. He thought it was about money. But when the master came back, he said, thou good and faithful servant, you will be in charge of 10 cities. That was when he came back. But there was one that produced nothing. He said, don't mind him. He kept it there and was running around trying to make it like his friends. Then when the Lord showed up, he said, he didn't say how much money did you make. He said, what did you do with that which I gave to you? You understand my point? The man could have gone to trade in horses. Then he left the master's money at home. Then when he came, he won many races in horses. Horse races, he was just winning. After that, when he finished horse racing, he went into car racing. After car racing, he went into athletics. He won many gold medals. When the master came back, he said, I have 17 gold medals here, there, and everything. He said, what about the money I gave you? He said, that one. Dig out. Did it. He said, this is it. See the problem? He said, Occupy with this until I come. That is where I will place you when I return is dependent upon how you produce with this that I gave you. Listen, I'm not going to strategize to do something else. I'm going to strategize to make this more efficient. Are you getting my point? If I get I pray once in a while. Actually meditating. If I get money like this, now what will I do? That thing crossed my mind that we're not going to build one big cathedral somewhere. And starts ringing bells all over town. Everybody come now. There's a church here. No. I said, we'll just take this onto more radio stations. We'll take this onto more TV stations. We'll take this onto more books. We'll take... Just occupy with this until I come. And God doesn't come back until he has fulfilled everything he is supposed to do. If he comes back before then, it's for judgment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, are you getting what I'm saying? No? What am I saying? This is how we quieten our souls. This is how we compose our souls. The realization of these facts. That's how we do it. That's point number one. I think I can leave that one there. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
I said, the Lord is good. Now, having gotten all, gotten all these things in our minds that is concerning that these general principles of life, that's the first stage. You must put that in mind when you are quietening your soul, when you are composing your soul. You remind yourself of these things. The next thing you must know, because this one is general, is that, I've said this again, so I won't spend more time on it, much time on it. You must realize that your life is very unique. One, listen to this. Next, and God has said something specific concerning your, now listen to me, not general principles now, but concerning your situation. That is very important. I'll say, I will explain that. All right? Now, I think we've studied this before. There is nothing you can ever experience in life that God did not know was going to happen. You hear what I said? Now, I'm taking us to the word of God. You know, we read from Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. There is something about Christianity which makes it very unique. There are many religions in this world. You know that. There are many religions. There are plenty. There's something that makes Christianity very different. And it is the reason why I love the Bible very much. And I believe it. If you've heard Muslims talk, all the Quran has is just laws about morals, about society. That's just all there is to it. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. Let me not waste time. The only book that has not just rules of you shall do, you shall not do, is the Bible. It has prophecies concerning people's lives and their destinies. It has accurate prophecies concerning the destiny of nations. It has accurate descriptions of the history of nations, spiritual descriptions of history. Things will happen, it will give you the spiritual reason they happen, and will tell you the outcome in days to come. He will come, call Daniel. Come. These are the things that will happen to the people of God. And every single one of them will be fulfilled. A lot of the things in the book of Revelation. Go and read this man's book, Rick Joyner. I think Shadow of Things to Come. Rick Joyner said he studied and discovered that a lot of those things in the book of Revelation were fulfilled years ago. Talking about the beast and this and all of that. And he'll give you accurate descriptions. You'll see it. How the beast was in league with kings, and kings gave his authority to the beast, their authority to the beast and all of that. It's there in the scriptures. God will tell you, I will tell you these things, said through Isaiah, before they happen. So that when they happen, you won't say, my idol did it. Let me tell you, I declare those things that have not yet happened. I declare them before they happen, so you will know that I did them. The thing about Christianity, about the Bible, about the prophecies, is that, about the Bible, yes, like this, is that it contains the prophecies, the plan of God for nations and for individuals. That's a matter of fact. He doesn't just tell you, do this and don't do this. He will tell you things like, arise thou that sleepest, and Christ shall light upon thee. He will tell you things like that. He will tell you for what to do, that when a man is in distress, this is the word of God concerning his distress. And if this man believes it, that word will be fulfilled in the midst of his distress. It would describe, listen, oh God, I wish you would have enough understanding, study. You will see that the scriptures, and that's why it can never be proved wrong. Many years ago, some people said that it's not possible. When they said that two witnesses will be killed and the whole world will see it, and people say, Abba, is the whole world going to gather in which stadium and see the killing of two witnesses? Then George Bush bombed Iraq in Kuwait and the whole world saw it. Because before then, CNN was created. Are you getting what I'm saying? When it was written, nobody believed it was possible for you to kill somebody and the whole world will see it. But now we know. Barack Obama was sworn in. We all saw it. We all gathered and saw it. Now Spain wins World Cup. We all see it. We don't have to go to South Africa. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what Christianity is about.
Now, the promises that God wrote concerning our lives, for us to contact it, we needed a relationship with God. By the blood of the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. That's why, listen. How do I say this so that you won't misunderstand me? Jesus came to achieve a purpose. It was not the purpose in itself. Do you get my point? He came to bring us to a place. For God so loved the world that he gave so that they will not perish but have. The main thing is so that we can have the promises of God manifested in our lives. So, how can we do that? He took his only begotten son, brought him down to earth, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and gave him as the forerunner so that we can enter into the holiest of all. What am I saying? Whatever situation you are in, God spoke a word concerning it long ago. And you cannot quieten or compose your soul until you discover that which is said about your situation. Let me try and summarize that on time. That is why I keep on saying it. You cannot be a Christian. I've seen people say before, that man is a prayer warrior. There are prayer warriors and there are prayer warriors. Do you know the difference? There's a man who prays as a warfare, which he is doing in the service of God. And there's one who prays because praying is a culture. And when he worries, he prays. And the prayers are just a manifestation of the worry. Do you understand? Yes. I like to say some things just to freeze people. You know, I know they go all night prayer. I stopped long ago. You know my reason? We have to be beating drum to keep people awake. Why can't you beat it during the day? What's your problem? We like to pray all night because it's a habit. They say, Jesus prayed all night. Listen. Before Jesus prayed all night, he walked all day. And the all night prayer was the only time he had to pray. And nobody beat any drum to keep him awake. There was no choir. Jumping. Everybody shout, praise the Lord. Jump 10 times. Say, I shall not sleep. I have overcome sleep. When you have issues, sleep disappears by itself. I'm not making an issue here. There are things you just do out of habit. Real prayer warring, listen to me, is founded purely upon the word of God. Until Daniel read the book of Jeremiah, he couldn't pray Israel out of captivity. Until Daniel read the book of Jeremiah, he was in Babylon, prospering like everybody else. Then one day, I, Daniel, observed in the books, that's the book of Jeremiah, the number of the years where in the word the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah that he shall accomplish concerning the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I began to pray. You cannot pray until you have a word. What am I saying? Christian, I've heard it before. Say, that man, his own area is a word. This man's area is prayer. I said, these are confused people analyzing things they don't know. The man of the word is a man of prayer. The man of prayer, that's a true prayer man, must have been stimulated by the word of God. What am I saying? No, I keep on saying it all the time. Christians, you don't go to church to pray. You don't go to church to sing. You go to church primarily to hear. He said, be careful, watch your steps when you come near to the temple. Draw near to, do what? Listen. Because any other thing you do that's not founded upon what you heard is called the sacrifice of fools. What am I saying? God has spoken a word about every situation. He said, labor to enter into rest. The first labor is laboring in the word of God. That's what I'm saying. You know, we keep on coming back to this thing. Because he has said many things. I thank God for testimonies that are here and there. One woman told me once about all the worries in her life. Then she began to listen to my message. She said, after that, sir, I began to leave. Before that time, she was going for prayer meetings. Deliverances, all night, all kinds of things. Then one day, somebody gave her one single MP3 CD. By the time she finished, she said, she washed her face. She said, God has wiped away my tears. Forget all of these ones. I know they pray again. Forget. That is, why did she begin to live? Because the word entered. The entrance of thy word gives what? Light. And it gives understanding to the simple. He said, good understanding is what brings forth what? Favor. But life is hard for the man without understanding. He said, that's the way of the transgressor. It is hard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, I said, we're talking about general principles. In fact, I think we should even match that with what I'm saying now. Specific understanding. Every situation in life has a word. And that takes me to the next point. Three things. One, general understanding. So we say we're going to four things. But we're on number three now. I'm on number three now. Number one, general understanding. I've talked about that. Then I said there is a specific word that God has for every situation. Now listen to me. That is where we now get to the third one. Joshua chapter 1. It said, now let me start from that. Psalm 131 again. I have composed and quietened my soul. Are you getting my point? I said to us, the first day we talked about that, what was David saying? It is possible to, as it were, it appears like you come out of your own body. No, I don't mean, don't go and join anybody practicing metaphysics and levitating. You get my point? I mean, as if you turn around, okay, good. You take a mirror, that's a good one, and instruct yourself. As if a man can come out of himself, look at himself and say, self, sit down, let me give you some lectures. Self, relax, let me talk to you. That's what David was saying. I have instructed my soul. I have told it to be quiet. David used to instruct his soul a lot. You say, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's an instruction. He said, Thanksgiving 205. Soul, sit down. Say after me, bless the Lord. That is, he will instruct, give lectures to his soul. What am I saying? This is how you're quieting your soul. You instruct your soul concerning the understanding of God that you have. I don't know whether I heard me. It is the word of God you use to quieten your soul. In general understanding, and most importantly, in specific understanding. For example, a man came to me, I gave the story before. One of our brothers, he is not around now. He said, Pastor Banky, I think I have a problem. I said, what is the problem? But I said, winch, they worry me. Now, he didn't say it like that. I mean, I'm adding that one to it now. He said, will I say, cause day or blessing no day? I said, why? Because I did this one, it did not work. I did this one, it did not work. I did this one, things went wrong. When he finished, I looked at him. You have not heard that the righteous man falls seven times? How many times have you fallen? Four. He remained three. The eighth time around, come and talk to me. They are brothers, I think they have a problem because they don't collect three issues. You know what they call issue? It's nails. You know when a man collects nail? Now, that is, you ask one woman to marry you, she refuse. And then he looked at you. So, and you start giving yourself reasons why she refused. It's because I'm too tall. No, because I'm not tall enough. It's because I'm too fat, because I'm not fat enough. After the fourth woman don't give you, you say, ah, pastor, you have to pray. The spirit of single manness came out of the Atlantic Ocean and is worrying me. You come and meet me, I'll tell you simply. When he reaches number 8, come back. Because the righteous man gets nailed 7 times and he marries the 8th time. That's how you quieten your soul. Because if you don't read the scriptures, you won't understand this. Listen to me. Listen to me. A lot of, you know, deliverance churches, deliverance prophets, they go around town praying on the ignorance of people. That's all. There's one that makes me laugh. Before I go to deliverance people, you know, have you ever heard of the original grandson of Ududua, Mr. Water? You know about him? The full ground. Forget Mr. Water alone. They plenty for town. I don't know. All of them are from Lagos, Ogun, do exist. There are a few from Edo State, but and they brag on it that we are the original sons of Ududua. We know the real herbs. The one when I was in Lagos, there was one man. His own was even interesting. He said, you see a lot of these herbs, they don't work. Because this was in Lagos. He said, why? That he's from Oka in Ondo State. That the herbs that grow near the sea, they don't work. So the Lagos herbs, nothing for them. that his own is from the hinterland in Ondo State, that he goes home to bring herbs. That so all this one you harvest around Lagos, they are too close to the sea. Mami what asked me, don't chop their root. Nah, let me add that one. The man not talk so. Now, what am I telling you story about those people? Listen. Frank, you know what I'm saying is true. I saw University of Benin, all right? Where we do a lot of psychiatry as medical students. And that helped me to understand some things. Once they are describing their symptomatology, all those, their what they call staphylococcus, you know? They are staphylococcus. They have, you don't know staph, you know they hear them for radio. I don't mean staphylococcus of microbiology. I mean the staphylococcus of traditional medical people. Listen to what I'm saying. This is how they tell you. How do you know you have staph problem? If your stomach is making noise, broom, broom, broom. If you have something crawling all over your body, if you wake up at night and you can't sleep properly, if you are dreaming bad dreams, when they finish describing it, any half-educated medical person knows they've just described somebody with an emotional disturbance. That is the first day you hear it. Once you've done any bit of psychology or psychiatry, you just know, this is the issue. So you find that something is crawling from your leg and it comes to your shoulder. And then from your shoulder, it grows inside you. In the morning, it moves to the back. Just know you have staphylococcus or you have this problem or you have dysentery. They keep on telling all kinds of stories. When you eat, you discover that this happens and then quickly, they will tell. But then they finish the stories. Just know that any woman whose husband doesn't come home on time has those problems. Any man that's been threatened with sacking his job has those problems. Any man who's owing money has those problems. These are that, and the guy, look, whether they know or they don't know, but that's what they do. They prey on the ignorance of people. And I saw a church, people were giving testimony, deliverance from staphylococcus. I won't tell the name of the church. They printed it boldly. And they can send you for culture. You know what they call culture? And they will grow staphylococcus. You know why? Staphylococcus is in everybody's skin. There are different types. But you won't know now. Because you are ignoramus. You know what I'm saying? They prey on the ignorance of people. And people who fight there who have no problems more than they are broke. Who have no problems more than their husband is threatening to marry a second wife. He said, you come for free consultation. Yes, consultation is free. This is the herb that's not free. What am I saying? Those people, they prey on the ignorance of the population. That's physically. Let's now go to the spiritual side. There are churches too that prey on the ignorance of people. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Most deliverance churches, that's what they do. So if you are swimming in your sleep, if you have never swum in your sleep, you've never seen a swimming pool or a river. It's the truth. He said, if you are flying in your sleep, if you are rolling in your sleep, please, what should I now do in my dream? I can't fly, I can't swim, I can't roll. What do I now do now? In a dream, you must do something or you don't dream at all. If you find out that a woman is coming to make love to you, you're every teenage boy. If you never had that dream as a teenager, stand up. Come and tell me, harassing me. You now wake up and discover that you have wet your trousers. Women, close your eyes. Let these boys talk to themselves. All of you need deliverance. I didn't know. And those who don't know, you come forward right now. Come out! There's nobody inside. Are you coming out from where? It's you know. Once in a while, I just look at this and say, God, your own kind of patience, we need to discuss it too. Because you just say, well, and they will pay for airtime. Hey, this girl came with a mommy water spirit. And she was rolling on the floor. All those girls are looking for attention. If you won't give me attention at home, I'll come to church and get it by having my mother spirit. You don't know human beings. You don't know human beings. Just to be in front, even if it's mommy water, he says, worry me. At least everybody sees that, yes, this is a girl with mommy water spirit. Here I come. Human beings, you know what pains me? Is that when real problems come, they can't even recognize it. There are people that really need deliverance. I need to say that. There are. Most of them have never seen it. When they see, they will close the church and run. Yeah, they've never seen. There are people that really need deliverance. And listen, those are not the people you diagnose by, come, were you dreaming? Did you dream in your sleep? Did you sleep in your dream? Did you wake in your dream? All those exhaustive interrogations concerning whether you have a spirit or not. You have to go through all like that, the man doesn't have a spirit. Go and check the people that Jesus delivered. He wasn't asking questions, say, wait, excuse me. Did he dream? Was your great grandfather an Obanji man? Was your father a slave trader? Hey, not this guy asking questions. You just know a pastor who is thoroughly confused. Why? Because he himself was not instructed with the word of God. Just entered into ministry. Just learned the trades, the culture of the priest. Like one of my friends would say, no, the tradition of the priest is how we do it. Ignorance. What does God expect from us? That's what I'm talking about. That we study His word and we understand that He has something to say in every situation. This is what meditation is. That's what I said where I'm going to. He said, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This is how you compose and you quieten your soul. By talking. Because the word meditate is not, He said, this book of the law shall not depart from what? Your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. That is, meditation is the use of the mouth. Listen, issues will happen in your life that want to disturb your soul. And don't be angry that your soul suddenly wants to be disturbed. Because God, after everything that Joshua did in faith, in walking before him, still warned him, be careful that you are not discouraged or dismayed. Because he knew that one day one giant will catch Joshua when he's alone. And doesn't have his sword. And it will happen to you too. Troubles will come. Suddenly you are disturbed. Go and see what happened to David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. After he had gone to, listen, he had gone to win a mighty victory for the Lord, only to get back home to Ziklag. And his enemies had come, collected everything, his wives, his children, the wives of his boys. So much that the men were in distress. I told those guys, they are the modern day what they call Muslims, Arabs now. They wanted to stone their champion who just took them out to a victory in battle. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What does that tell you? He became discouraged. Therefore, he went through the process of encouragement. And if you read the Psalms, you know that David understood. He would talk to himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is how somebody read Hebrews chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt talk to thyself therein day and night. So when disturbing times come, because they will come, the man goes into a corner. He doesn't just start praying. We'll get to prayer. But first he talks to himself. There was a time something happened to me many years ago. I remember that one very well because of the way it happened. I wanted to pray about it. Something happened. I can't give details now, but I just suddenly got worried that, wait, so this is how a man will just make mistakes and his life will just go wrong. You know that kind of thing. So that day as I was going home, I began to pray. Now, I have the habit. Maybe I'll discuss it next time. When I want to pray, I start with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is not just, Father, we just worship you. We just thank you, which is not wrong. But my own thanksgiving is usually an acknowledgement of that which I know already. Are you getting my point? The Father, I thank you because I know you are working in me. Lord, I know that I've been called as your son, and I was given life for a purpose. And I know you lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. And I was giving God thanks about all of those things. By the time I finished Thanksgiving, I still remember very well. I was walking down Mushin that day. By the time I finished Thanksgiving, I was walking, it wasn't even, I was just walking, talking to myself. Sunday, I remember I said, Lord, forget, sorry I disturbed you. And that was the end of the prayer. I wanted to pray so that I won't go wrong in some crucial matters. Are you getting my point? And I started with thanksgiving. When I finished, I realized that it was not possible to miss God. I don't know where I get my point. Just from talking to myself in thanksgiving, do you understand my point? I suddenly realized that the disturbance of my soul suddenly quieting down. I realized that there was no way I could miss God. Are you getting my point? Listen, when life wants to disturb you, don't forget, without quietness in your soul, the manifestation of God can't come. When life wants to disturb you, you take these general principles and the specific word that God has spoken about each of those situations. Are you getting the point? You take those things and begin to speak to yourself in it. Somebody's going to tell you that as an example, the one I gave at the beginning. It's at the age of 40. If a man doesn't have a house, he's not a man. When you hear it and your soul wants to be disturbed, whether it wants to be disturbed or not, reply. How do you reply? It's simple. Say, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. After all, the Lord said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Because after these things the Gentiles seek. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say that unto yourself, all the disturbance of your soul will disappear. That is what meditation is. Christian meditation is not the crossing of the legs and begin to concentrate. You say, what is inside my heart? Let's begin to go into the realm of the spirit. That's yoga. Christian meditation is that we take the word of God and speak the word to ourselves. Many times I've had to make decisions in life. Many years ago, not in recent times. He will say, if you do like this, this is where money will come from. If you don't do this, and I will say, behold, he said to me, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That removes disturbance from your soul. Are you getting my point? He said, country, how do you know price of crude is falling? This one, he said, he said, those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. That's meditation. Meditation is not to cross your leg and be imagining things. It's good to imagine when you want to imagine. But what would the Bible calls meditation that brings success to your life? That's not what it is. That one is the taking of the... That's why there's no solution. You need the word of God. Listen, let me say it like this. You need a Bible teacher in your life. You do. I'm not saying it because I'm a Bible teacher. Are you paying me to teach you? I'm not recruiting students. But it's what I have come to understand, both from studying the word of God and from experience. What do? They break... Look, because if it happens to me, there are times I just get to where a man is preaching. Before he starts talking, he just said, open your Bibles to Psalm 80. Oh, give ye a shepherd of Israel. As he begins to read, suddenly I start having understanding. The thing starts flowing. It starts flowing and giving your life direction. I remember many years ago, I was in Lagos. I just hated that city called Lagos. Then I made up my mind I was leaving. I was going to resign from where I was working and I was going to go to another city in Nigeria and all of that. And that night I went to church. And there was a tape I bought, Bishop Oyedepo's church tape. And I really didn't like the tape much, but that was not why I went to the shop that evening. I listened to the tape. I didn't like the tape very much. But one man came that day, I remember. And he came to complain that he bought that tape and his own was not good. So the man in charge of the tape department was now saying, look, how do we do it now? Okay, return it, take another one. The man said, no, I want that particular one. That guy wasn't sure he could get it for him. So I just said, is this the one you want? He said, yes. I said, you can have my own. The guy looked at me like, what was up? I said, no, you said yours is faulty. The man said, you can take another one, but that's the very one you want. He said, yes. I said, okay, take mine. I said, I've listened to it, it's good. There's no problem with it. So now I had a tape that was not good, which I could exchange for one. So the man said, okay, I should look through the shop, any one I liked. So I remember, I took the tape, Rima, the living word of God. I still have it. And I go home that night. I had a bath. It was very late. It was around past 11, and when I laid down to sleep. And as is my habit, I like to either read off to sleep or
I just don't like to just lie down and wait for sleep. I just do something into sleep. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So I put the tape on, let it play, so I will now sleep. 5 minutes after it began to play, I realized I shouldn't sleep. So I sat up so that I wouldn't fall asleep. And the tape played for 45 minutes. Listen, by the time he finished preaching that night on that tape, I realized I had made the wrong decision in trying to leave Lagos and go somewhere else. I can't give you the details. I just realized that the word of God, I don't know how. This is the interesting part. He didn't give me instruction, go to Lagos, don't go to Lagos, or stay in Lagos, don't stay in Lagos. He was just talking. And as he was talking, my heart was opened. And the Spirit of God just whispered it one way or the other to my soul, that the boy, you are about to walk off into your own path and leave the path of God for your life. The next day, I told myself, I ain't going anywhere again. I went back to work. I said, no, I'm settling down. I told my colleague I was leaving. I said, no, I'm not leaving anymore. I told the day we went on radio, Cosmo FM. It was because I was waiting for my wife. She was in a meeting, and I was in the car listening to a tape preached by Pastor Poju. And by the time he finished, I don't know exactly the words he spoke, but from that tape, I heard that the time has come for you to start teaching the word of God on air. Don't ask me how I heard it. I don't even know. All I know is that by the time I finished, I knew it and I was not in doubt. And you know how far we have come since. That's why you cannot do without it. You can't even pray effectively without it. If you don't have a scripture in your mouth, you can't pray. You can't. Prayer is trying to close the gap between where you are and where you are supposed to be. And where you are supposed to be is not what the world said. It's what the word of God said. So until you know it, how do you pray? You get my point? Until you know it, how do you pray? That's why Bible says pray, we pray according to his will. Listen, praying according to the will of God is not after you have prayed and prayed, then you say, just know that this is the will of God. You not ask for that. No. Go and listen to our tape again, 100-fold blessing. It's the word of God used to remove the will that's not the will of God from your mentality. When you have purified your motives and your mentality, any prayer you utter is the will of God. And how do you purify? It's the word of God. Are you getting my point? This is how we quieten our souls. With the word, from the word of God, we discover exactly what God has said about the situation. He said, those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. One thing I want to tell Christians all the time, don't let anybody fool you. You can never be poor in life. You hear what I said? It's the steps you are taking to run out of poverty that are sending you back into it. If you walk with God nicely and gently and diligently and slowly, you understand what I'm saying? You will discover that poverty was nailed to the cross. The resurrection of Jesus is a sign that poverty died irrevocably. Go and listen to that tape, a message I preached on radio. The sentence of life. I discussed that in there. When you know these things, please, you will quieten your soul. You say, if you don't get a visa, you will just look. Say, God is not in America. It's not an American. God can bring, he said, quote my scripture. I've been teaching you the word of God. Use that one. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I can never be poor. That's where I got my own from. I hope you've gotten my point.